When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? You are back with District Baseball. Congratulations, you just hit the number one news source for all your baseball needs. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at Reverse, two R's, two S's, and the show at District BSB. Today, we are covering the entire National League as we go division by division, team by team, give you all of our thoughts, how we think the divisions are going to play out, and highlight some under the radar players or just players we want to talk about in general as we go through the entire National League today. But before we get to that, Trey, what's going on?
Nick, I'm feeling a little bit more refreshed this week than last week. I noticed while I was editing that I looked like I was about to pass out at any point. So I think the move is fine. I finally got, you know, caught back up with my sleep, and you know, we're feeling a little bit better. But we're going to be talking about the National League like we did last week with the American League.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to start once again with the East, this time the NL East, and those Atlanta Braves, who were the division champs last year. So who you got from the Braves, who you want to talk about?
Yeah, so Braves obviously led by Ronald Acuña, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Strider, Fried, and now Chris Sale in the rotation. The Braves are the Braves. They have a murderer's row in their lineup. Their pitching always seems to be good regardless of who is in it year to year. And you would think I would kind of highlight an under the radar pitcher, but I'm actually going to choose Jared Kelnick. For the sole purpose that if anyone was to get the most out of this player, it feels like it would be the Braves. And you listening to that, you might think that's a compliment. No, the Braves are cheating. I just don't know how.
Somehow.
Like, Kelnick had all this hype, was in the Edwin Diaz trade, going from the Mets to the Cano trade, right?
Yeah, he was. I think he was.
Is that the same trade?
The same trade. I don't even remember. One.
Okay, so it was the same trade.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was with the Mariners. Anyways, I know he was with the Mariners last year. For some reason, I thought there was a stop in between. Yeah, with the Mariners, kind of struggled. Last year was okay. Like, it wasn't great, but I think it's safe to say it was his best year as a pro. 11 home runs, 253 average, WRC plus of 108. So, like, again, just an average campaign. And it was a little bit – the Braves earlier this winter made a bunch of just, like, random trades, just, like, dumping 40-man, you know, players off the 40-man.
Going with the White Sox. It was particularly funny.
Yeah, it was just insane. And I think the Kelnick move kind of got lost in the shuffle with all of the other moves that would soon follow. And I'm not saying Kelnick's going to be a MVP candidate, but it just feels like there's a purpose behind the Braves targeting this player. And I'm not looking forward to whatever's to come. That being said, he's been really bad in spring training. If you care to, value spring training performance and stats. So maybe I could be completely wrong. Like, he has literally a negative 32 WRC plus in spring training, which I didn't know that was possible. Maybe I'm just worrying for no reason, but I'm just tired of the Braves being the Braves. I'm tired of the way they operate. And so I think Jared Kelnick there's a reason they traded for him.
Yeah, it's a solid choice as an under the radar guy. My pick was Chris Sale, another trade candidate. The guy that they got via trade. And I think that he kind of makes or breaks this team's playoff run, because I don't think there's any question they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to win this division. But I think that if Chris Sale stays healthy, or at the very least is healthy when the playoffs come around, that's a huge, huge win, because he's been great in the playoffs before, and he still has that strikeout stuff. There's no doubt about it. 10 Ks per nine last year over that. So he still has that ability to be to have the ceiling of an ace. It's just about health with him. I would anticipate they'll probably skip him some starts occasionally, maybe go to a six-man rotation if they have a big lead in the division, just to keep him fresh going into the playoffs, because that's where they need him at his best.
Right.
And I think that's pretty, I think that might happen, which I'm I don't want it to happen. Like, this team is so freaking good, it's really annoying.
Again, it's just like, if any team was to get the best out of Chris Sale at age whatever he is now, it's gonna be the Braves.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
Probably.
I hate it. I hate everything about this team.
All right, let's stop talking about them.
All right, so let's move on to the Philadelphia Phillies, the team that is the Braves' kryptonite, especially in the postseason. They are led by Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and JT Realmuto. In the rotation, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Ranger Suarez. I'm going to stick right there. I'm going to talk about Trey Turner. I think we kind of talked about this in our top 10 shortstops episode, so I won't go too in-depth. I think Trey specifically had just that first year transition, new team kind of thing, where it's a little bit down compared to your career or averages and expectations and whatnot. But year two, the year two bump is a real thing. We've seen it time and time again. And Trey Turner, like, he's been incredibly consistent throughout his entire career. So I'm willing to chalk up 2023 as a, you know, outlier, as a kind of just one-time thing. Like, his K rate shot up a lot, but a lot of the other numbers kind of stayed similar, or he was kind of just like unlucky in some regard. So I think he's going to, shoot right back up to where he was. Like, he's still a threat on the base paths, which is obviously been his bread and butter before. It was cool to steal bases, you know, last year. So I think Trey Turner is going to be the guy they signed to $300 million contract. I think he's still one of, if not the best shortstops in baseball. We kind of just obviously have to use recency bias when we do those top 10 lists and things like that. But he was much better in the second half than he was in the first half. Like, his second half batting average was .292. Had he hit .292 over the course of the season, there wouldn't have been a conversation about Trey Turner and, like, the struggles and things like that. 16 home runs in the second half versus 10 in the first half. Like, even still finishing with 26 home runs, like, that's solid, right? Yeah. So,
the playoffs.
Right. The Trey Turner stuff is just really overblown. And you have to remember, the World Baseball Classic was last year too. We've seen evidence of the last couple World Baseball Classics where guys come in after playing in that tournament and struggle. So it could have been a lot to do with that as well. So now, with a real relaxed, normal kind of lead up into the season, we might get the Trey Turner we've all kind of come to expect.
Yeah, I'm anticipating a nice bounce back from him as well. My pick was, I've already actually made a YouTube short about the NL East breakout players, and I mentioned this player, so I'll keep this brief, but Christopher Sanchez at the back of that rotation, I think, is
I wanted interesting. To pick him.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because of the way that his pitch metrics look. He had over 50% ground ball rate for his career and last year, and he upped his K rate last year. And he doesn't walk very many guys. So I'm thinking at the back end of that rotation, he could be a solid four starter for them. And potentially get, you know, closer to like 140, 150 innings and just be really solid on a rate basis.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. With the Phillies, it seems like it's always their pitching. Like, how good can their pitching be? Mainly the bullpen, that rotation's been good for a while. But if they get some support from a kind of unexpected place like Sanchez, that would boost them a lot. And yep. They're already a good team, so we'll see how far that takes them. All right, moving on to another playoff team last year. They certainly
I
wouldn't.
know, right?
They
Crazy to think
certainly were
about.
not acting like it this offseason, but that is the Miami Marlins. They are led by Jesus Luzardo, Yuri Perez, and Edward Cabrera. And then in the lineup, Jazz Chisholm, Luis Arias, and Jake Berger. I'll go right back to the rotation. I'm not picking out one particular player, but I'm just highlighting the injuries they're already dealing with. Obviously, Sandy Alcantara, one of the best players in baseball, out for the year with Tommy John. Now Perez and Cabrera are already hurt. I don't know the latest timeline or like prognosis on them, but they're going to miss the start of the season. So that doesn't even include
Braxton
Garrett.
Well,
yeah, left. This was today, I think, or no, a
it
couple
was,
days ago.
Yeah, a few days ago.
But I think he'll be ready for the start of the season. I think he'll be back. But I mean, their rotation was really good. Like, yeah, they're the Marlins. Yeah, they don't spend money, but their rotation was really good. And now, like, their top four arms are dealing with injuries, are already out for the start of the year, if not the whole year. So, yeah, they kind of were. It wasn't even a feel good story because they kind of just like lucked into a playoff spot, as backwards as that may sound. They didn't really do anything to try to win a playoff spot. They just kind of were like the last team standing almost, and certainly did not do anything this postseason. So it's not like a feel good story, but they had good players. And now it's like they're just going to be the Marlins you kind of knew from 10 years ago, where they just were complete ass because they just weren't really trying.
Yeah.
So,
and I, you know, what I'll point out as well, it could have been a feel-good story if this was the starting point, but it seems like that was the ceiling, and they don't really care about making moves to improve.
They fired Kim
that.
Ng,
yeah,
after
overperforming. Like, I don't. It's a whole.
I don't know.
They don't want to win. It's
don't.
Nonsense. They suck. Expect regression. I will go with Josh Bell because I love Josh Bell.
Me too.
And he really played a lot better when he got out of the American League. Sometimes when guys switch leagues, it can be a little tougher. It's a little different now because they all play each other more. Mm-hmm. But it's still a lot of pitchers you haven't seen as much. He got back in the National League via trade and instantly became a huge, huge catalyst to the Marlins making the playoffs and the run they did at the end of the season. He is going to be a free agent next year. So maybe he has a big season, gets a nice little payday.
Reunion.
Hey, don't start yet, but yeah, that would be cool. I love Josh Bell. And also make sure you check out Sandy's gaming channel because he's going to be on the injured list this year. And he is always streaming on Twitch.
Oh,
I follow him on Twitter and he just is like, he's constantly streaming Fortnite. So go watch him.
Yeah, Sandy's gaming channel.
It might be more entertaining than the Marlins this year, to be honest. It
probably will be, to be honest. All right, moving on to the New York Mets. Kind of a wild roller coaster of a year for them. Still led by Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo. And in the rotation, or just the staff in general, this is where it really looks. Kodai Senga, really good, hurt right now. Edwin Diaz should pitch this year. Really good, but was hurt all of last year. And then Jose Quintana, opening day starter for the New York Mets. Yeah, just craziness. Although they did buy their way into a couple of top 100 prospects, which is very annoying. Anyways, the guy I wanted to talk about was Brett Beatty. Not because I'm like super bullish or optimistic about his outlook or anything like that. I just think they need more from him. First round pick back in 2019. And we know in baseball more than any other sport, like prospects and early draft picks, there's no such thing as a sure thing, especially at, you know, considering a lot of these guys are out of high school, which Beatty was. It's just, what does year two look like? He's still young. He still has plenty of time to progress and improve and all this stuff. But I mean, he was bad last year. Like, yeah. There's not, we don't need to like sugarcoat it or anything like that. So if the Mets really want to get back on track, obviously they can buy their way, and they likely will buy their way back into the contention. But they also need more from their kind of homegrown guys and the guys that aren't making big money. We'll put it that way. Brett Beatty being one of them. He has a really, really high power tool. We just haven't seen him tap into that. And maybe, you know, contact is an issue there, but this is a guy who could be a top 10 third baseman in the league. It's just, will he ever hit that ceiling? We've seen, like, you know, these prospects on the Nats, for instance, when the Nats were really good competing and they would call up a guy, that guy would struggle, right? Because this is a playoff push, unless you're obviously Juan Soto, right? But now that the Mets are not competing for the playoffs, is Beatty's kind of, is he not pressing so much? Can he just relax and, like, play to the, you know, back of the baseball card, so to speak? So I'll be interested to see what Brett Beatty does and if he takes a step forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's hit very well at every level of the minors, not even just well. So they're just kind of waiting for that to happen. Honestly, this lineup isn't that bad. The pitching staff is weird, but in terms of the batting lineup, not terrible on paper. And obviously a key cattle set is Mr. Pete Alonso, who is going into a contract year. And I'm intrigued to see, you know, what do they do? Do they try and push for an extension this year? Do they try and trade him if they're not performing at the level they're expecting? I'm kind of thinking that's going to be what happens, because this pitching staff can't hold up.
I agree.
And so, you know, if they're around 500 or even a little below that at the deadline, he's probably going to get moved. I kind of felt
like that last year too, that he was going to get traded.
I feel like they could extend him and it wouldn't bother me. Like, I feel like that'd be a solid move, or they could trade him and that would also be a solid move. Just don't pull a Nats Bryce Harper situation and do nothing. Make a move, do something with him, or don't, you know. I could be cool with the Mets.
Careless. It's not our team.
But you know, if I'm in their front office, that's how I'm looking at it. Especially if he's having a big homer season again.
For sure. Speaking of the Nationals, that rounds out the NL East. They are led by Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, and I'm not putting Patrick Corbin in there, so I'll put Kyle Finnegan in there, their pitching staff. And then the lineup led by CJ Abrams, KB Ruiz, and Lane Thomas. I'll be quick. Obviously, we're kind of a Nats-themed show. We have episodes dedicated to the Nats, so I'll be super quick. The guy I'm looking at this year is Cade Cavalli. I will say this. I am not a Cade Cavalli fan. I think he has bust written all over him, and not like trying to be too harsh on the player, but I don't think this pitching coach, or like whatever the word I'm trying to, like, the Jim Hickey is terrible is the word I'm looking for. The Nats cannot develop players. So I don't trust this organization to get the most out of him, especially coming off Tommy John. I know they'll be super cautious with him and we'll probably see some rocky starts after that. So I don't even know if 2024 is going to be the best indication of what Cade Cavalli is anyways. We'll probably have to look at 2025, but also I wanted to pick Cade Cavalli because there is no other pitching help coming up anytime soon. Like, if you want to consider Jackson Rutledge, fine, but like, Jackson Rutledge is not going to be a very good major leaguer. And then behind him, there's definitely no one else that's coming, right? So the Nationals are a team that was built on really, really good pitching, but they bought most of that pitching. And they're probably going to have to do that again, because I don't see Cade Cavalli panning out. And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch to see how his career with the Nationals in particular goes on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's, you're probably right to say that this year isn't even the most important year. It's probably next year for him, but just to see him get out there this year would be important. I'll also be quick. I went with Lane Thomas just because, again, there's a surplus of outfield talent in the Nats organization.
Him. I want nothing to do with him.
He is a trade candidate, and although he's played well, and I will give him credit, and I'll give him credit for proving me wrong, because I didn't think he'd be able to continue to hit homers at this pace. But yeah, he's definitely a trade candidate because of the people behind him. Now, you know, it's a little bit thinner because Hassel hasn't really panned out as much as they had hoped, but there's still a lot of guys. So I'm not really sure what they're going to end up doing. If they seem to want to give him an extension, which is not my preferred method. I mean, I if he continues to hit well and the results speak for themselves, then I'm
under
like,
no
all
circumstances right. Do I want him extended.
There's
He could win an MVP, like... and I don't want him extended. I'm dead serious. He doesn't match the timeline.
If he wins an MVP, I'll build a statue myself. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got on Lane, just because we have the full Nats show coming, especially for our preseason predictions.
Yeah.
Soon.
All right. So predictions time. Little tease. How does the NL East finish out?
Okay, so my NL East predictions go Braves, Phillies, Mets, Nationals, Marlins. I am seeing a massive regression for Miami this year. They were way too good in one-run games. You can't sustain that level of clutch. It's just not possible. And their injuries already are decimating their pitching. And that's basically all they got, because this lineup is bad compared to the rest of the league.
So injuries aside, go ahead.
I'm just seeing them regressing heavily, and then you have these injuries on top of it. That's just not going to help anybody for them.
Okay. So injuries aside, take the injuries out of it. Everything you just said also applies to the Nationals. They are really good in one-run games. The lineup is not great. That being said, I have Braves, Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Nationals.
Yeah, I think the Marlins and Nats are both going to be like, 70 wins, maybe, like,
you think 10. The Nats win 70 games?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to save that for that Nationals preview episode, because that is a little too rich for my blood. All right. Let's move on to the NL Central, starting with the Milwaukee Brewers, a Brewers team that's going to look a lot different in terms of their foundational, players going forward after they lost Corbin Burns. And they did retain Brandon Woodruff, but he is hurt and probably won't pitch till August or sometime, which is crazy that no one else picked up Brandon Woodruff. But anyways, Freddie Peralta, newly acquired DL Hall, and I put Joel Piamps in there. They do still have Devin Williams, but he had like a fractured back, I think.
Yeah, he's going to miss a lot of time.
Like 6 to 8 weeks. So I didn't want to put him in there, but if he's healthy, he's one of the best relievers in baseball. And the lineup looks better than in recent years. William Contreras, Willie Adames, Christian Yelich. But the guy I want to talk about will presumably be in the lineup. I don't know if it's opening day or soon thereafter. That is Jackson Chirio. I hope I'm saying his name correctly.
Jackson Chirios.
Yeah, sure. number two prospect in baseball. And obviously that's reason to be hyped enough, but the Brewers of all teams gave him an 8-year, $82 million contract before he had ever played an MLB game.
Mm-hmm.
So, now there's real expectations there. Of course he's saying all the right things, that he's not feeling the weight of that record contract, whatever. He's had a good spring. So, so far so good. But it was definitely surprising to see the Brewers take advantage of that. It's something we're seeing more and more done with these young hotshot stars. It doesn't always work out. Look at the who was the guy that the Philly signed?
Oh, Scott Kingery.
Yeah. So that it one certainly does not always work out. I mean, you can go back to Rusney Castillo with the Red Sox too. A little bit of a different situation, but it does not always work out. So that'll be one to watch. But also the Brewers just really need him to pan out. Like Sal Frelick had a decent year. Who was the other guy?
Terang was like kind of up and down for them.
Yeah, but they had another hitter. I hated his batting stance. Anyways, like their prospects.
Oh, Weimer.
Weimer, yeah.
Yeah.
Joey Weimer.
Yeah.
I love how I said I hated his batting stance and you knew exactly who I was talking about.
Because it's horrible.
Yeah. So they just need more. Obviously, it's kind of a transition period for them. They still have some of the same pieces, but their pitching staff was the strength and led them to a couple of postseason berths. And now we're not sure if that pitching staff is going to hold up. So that lineup's going to need to do more than what it has done in recent years.
Yeah, I agree. And a big help from that lineup could be Mr. Rhys Hoskins, who's the guy I want to talk about, because he is in an interesting position. He has an opt-out, but he's also in a 2-year contract. So he's locked in some guaranteed money for himself off of an injury. That's good for him. But also, he's got a chance to put up, 30, 35 homers this year and get a big payday and get, maybe a 4-5 year contract instead. And he's looked pretty good in spring so far for them. That's good. I mean, obviously we know spring training doesn't mean all that much, but the process has there for him. So he's getting back into the swing of things after an injury. And just the intrigue with him is, you know, basically, if he let's say that the Brewers are kind of middling, like I kind of expect them to be around 500 at the end of the year, but around the trade deadline, that's where they are. If Hoskins is playing really, really well at the time, do they just go ahead and trade him, not thinking he's going to use that opt out? You know, do they turn it into a 1 year contract rental and try to get something
Yeah,
for him? I think that would be an interest that kind of just
probably.
gives them another option with this contract. So honestly, it worked. The deal works for both sides in that way, and I think it's a good fit. So I'm looking at Hoskins as a potential, 800 plus OPS, 30, 35 homer guy again.
Yeah, I can see it, and I do think he will get moved because I don't think the Braves will be all that competitive. Moving on to the Chicago Cubs, just missed the playoffs last year. The retained Cody Bellinger after he waited as long as he could. Still have Dansby Swanson and Seiya Suzuki, recent free agent acquisitions over the past couple of years that have been so far so good for them. And then their rotation, Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, and newly acquired Shota Imananaga, I believe is how you say it.
I think you got
Probably
it.
butchered that too. But that's who I want to talk about. No disrespect to Justin Steele. He was kind of in that Cy Young conversation throughout kind of September, right? So he had a really good year. I'm just not viewing him in that top tier elite status. And I don't know that Shota will be either, right? But the Cubs need more pitching, right? They are still trotting out Kyle Hendricks every fifth day, and who's been solid, but like he's no longer their ace, right? And even on his best days, he wasn't like a top 15 pitcher in baseball. So they
Oh, I got something to
really,
say about that. I love
okay.
Kyle Hendricks.
All right. I'm saying he's very good, but now he's like 30 something.
I'm with you.
And even Shota's, he's age 30. He's not coming over like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, like really young or anything like that. So it'll just be interesting to see what kind of role he fills. Is he kind of a 2-3 guy? Can he be a one? Will there be flashes of ace potential, or you know, anything like that? I still think they need another pitcher. I'm shocked they're not in on Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery. By all reports, they're not. So, this pitching staff was kind of the thing that held them back last year. And right now, it kind of feels like they're in the same spot because, yeah, they re-signed Bellinger, but they had Bellinger last year. So it's like they didn't get markedly better, you know? I know you'll talk about a guy who's definitely interesting for them, but they didn't get markedly better. So it's like I have trouble immediately sliding them into a playoff spot that they just missed out on last year.
I think they did get better. I agree with what you're saying. Like they didn't get way better because they definitely need more pitching. I mean, there's definitely a
Right.
lack of depth there. There's no doubt. I think they're gonna have a solid bullpen, potentially a top 10 bullpen. And I do think this lineup is just gonna continue to get better. I'm looking at Seiya Suzuki as a guy to take another step forward for them as well. But they also made a trade for Mr. Michael Busch of the Dodgers, who has basically just been blocked from playing in the majors because the Dodgers
Yeah,
system
interesting
has so
trade.
many players. Now he's going to have a chance, and I'm expecting it to go pretty well. He's absolutely crushed it at every level of the minor leagues, and he's already looking solid this spring. Again, spring, doesn't mean anything, but
Is what it is. Yeah.
the process, that's what we're looking at. And he's hitting the ball very, very hard. And he has a great eye at the plate. He's gonna him in the middle of that order, if he pans out for them, is a difference maker to me, from them last year and this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Seiya Suzuki's solid. I just don't know. Like, if he's one of your best three hitters, I just don't view your team as very good. Whether that's fair or not, that's just kind of, I think he's a really good role player, similar to I can't even come up with comp right now, but I just don't think he's not a difference maker, if that makes sense. But I
Okay.
could be wrong.
Yeah,
It
no.
certainly could be wrong. All right, moving on to the next team in the division, we're going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. They are led by Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, and Nolan Gorman. And then in the rotation, I'm actually just going to jump right into that right now because my player is not just one, but five. The Cardinals have the oldest rotation in baseball. I say that having not looked at any other age of anyone's rotation other than the Cardinals. I'm fairly confident that the Cardinals have it
locked. I haven't either, but I'm pretty sure.
Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn, Steven Matz, Kyle Gibson, Miles Mikolas. I mean, holy shit. I just cannot believe. Listen, as maybe Matz aside, like all four kind of quality or have some value pitchers last year, but relying on five pitchers, I don't know how old Mikolas is, but certainly they're the four, like 33 or older. What a game plan for a team that struggled insanely last year. I think I wrote down like how they can get the early bird dinner special at Denny's.
Yeah.
Because they are just so old.
Yeah, I think we can get that and then head over to bingo night.
Right, exactly. And then you're in bed by 8. So I hope it's like a lot of 4 o'clock games for them. Otherwise they're screwed. They're going to be a sundowner rotation. I just can't believe that this was the strategy to double down. Like, yeah, trading Arenado or Goldschmidt might not be the most fun thing in the world, but like it clearly did not work. So they really doubled down. I can only imagine how it's going to blow up in their face this year. I like Sonny Gray a lot, top 10 pitcher in baseball, but he's old, right? So you just never know when that regression is going to hit. We saw it with the Mets last year. Granted, they were signing 40-year-old pitchers, not 30-year-old pitchers. But we saw how it blew up gloriously for the Mets last year. So the Cardinals were really bad last year, and I think they'll be better, but I don't have them. I'm not tempted to put them in the playoffs either.
I think that's an accurate assessment. They'll get their innings. There's no doubt about that. They just might not be very quality innings. The bullpen is very solid. So if they can get it to the bullpen, they might have a chance. I'll go ahead and talk about Nolan Arenado because I think it's pretty obvious that he's a big deal for this team's success. He's been there for 3 years, and two of those seasons have been, you know, kind of whatever. His 2022 was obviously incredible. But, you know, we're looking for consistency with Nolan because he's been consistent his whole career. And it's not really happening in St. Louis so far. So hoping for a bounce back from him to get them back going. But again, you know, him and Goldie are getting up there. This is an old team. They're going to be qualifying for AARP very soon. So, you know, age is definitely their biggest flaw, I think, right now.
Yeah, very much so. So we'll see what happens there in St. Louis.
I mean, we're Nats fans, so we know that you can win with an old team because
we've been there.
We did it, but we weren't even this old. So,
but it's also like we had Juan Soto.
Yeah,
and,
I know that.
And Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, like they're all in their 20s.
Yeah, it's
granted that's the lineup, and they do have young guys in the lineup, but still,
they're going to be entertaining.
They're asking a lot. All right, moving on to the next team, the Cincinnati Reds, led by, Hunter Green. I confused him with Riley Green there for a second. Completely different players. Graham Ashcraft and Nick Lodolo, and then they have Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, and TJ Friedl kind of leading that lineup. I am going to talk about Frankie Montas, but you can kind of group all of their rotation all in one. Because that was the thing that really held them back last year. They, once Ellie De La Cruz got his call up, they went on a tear, but it was the pitching that really let them down. I don't have the compiled stats in front of me, but I believe their starting rotation had a combined ERA above 5. Like, you're not going to win many games with that. If they can just be slightly better, I really think they could challenge for the division this year. They're a young, hungry team. They got a lot of prospects kind of all graduating at the same time. They went and got Jamer Candelario. They have a guy who I'll let you talk about who they could trade for more reinforcements. But even if they don't trade him, he's still very good and kind of a good bounce back candidate. But Frankie Montas in particular, I wanted to talk about because I really like this flyer. He's been traded a couple times, and for that reason where it's like, man, if we can just get him to stay healthy, basically, this is a really good pitcher. So if the Reds can get Frankie Montas that we kind of expect, or at least close to it, he's going to be a valuable commodity in that rotation and very well could be that they're kind of like one or two starter in that rotation. The other one is Andrew Abbott. I liked him when he got called up last year, good strikeout numbers. It's just he's young. We'll see how he factors into that rotation. They kind of got six guys for five spots right now. But they have more options this year than they did last year in the rotation for sure.
This is definitely a boom or bust rotation.
Yeah.
This could be, there's a ton of potential here. So much. It's basically entirely predicated on potential because they haven't really showed it at the big league level yet.
Right.
But if they reach that, this could be a really good rotation. It could also completely flop on their heads like it did last year. The lineup itself is probably going to be pretty strong, young, with a lot of talent, a lot of power in this lineup too. I'll go ahead and talk about Jonathan India, who you alluded to. He is a guy that is still a good player and still has value. And I would assume he gets moved at some point because
there's not a spot for him.
There's not enough infield positions. Although the Noelvi Marte suspension does kind of keep him in there a little bit because they don't have him as a depth guy now. But I would think that he's a trade candidate, obviously. And he's good enough to start somewhere. So I wonder how he's dealing with this being, you know, he's coming off not the best season, but he's also had some injuries and he won the rookie of the year not too long ago. So I'm kind of just interested to see what he thinks about it. But yeah, that'll be an interesting storyline throughout the season to see what they do with him. And yeah, this team could definitely challenge for a playoff spot this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, the final team in the division, the Pittsburgh Pirates, led by O'Neill Cruz, who's healthy again, thank God, Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds. And then the rotation actually is looking better. It's not like top tier, but they have, I guess you can call it depth. They just have options. Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, and then David Bednar, still one of the best relievers in baseball, just kind of lost there in Pittsburgh, as many have before him. But I want to talk about Henry Davis. This is a guy who was the number one overall pick in baseball a couple of years ago, under slot, but still very good, highly touted guy. He was a catcher in college. It seems like they're making him more of an outfielder. He played the majority of his games in right field last year. So, I'm not super plugged into what the game plan is with him. I'm sure he could catch if they need him, but he's going to have a role. He tore up AAA last year, like OPS over 1,000. And, you know, I think he only played like a handful of games in AAA before he got called up. When he got called up, like, it wasn't great. So he kind of falls into that Brett Beatty category. It's like, if this team hopes to contend soon, they need more out of him. Just because you got to hit on those, at least some of those first round picks. Like, you just have to, especially the early ones, the top half ones. And certainly the 101, you just have to, right? That's why the Nationals got, you know, jump-started into their 2010s contention, because they hit on Bryce Harper, Steven Strasburg, and Anthony Rendon. 101, 101, and then 106, I believe Rendon was. So it's like you just...
six.
Right. So you just have to hit on those picks. And listen, underslot is a very viable strategy. I'm not really knocking that, but you have to be certain that when you go underslot, the player you're getting really has a high floor, right? You can't afford that kind of boom bust thing when you're going underslot. You need kind of as sure of a thing as you can possibly get, which is not very high, but still. So I'll be curious to see what Henry Davis does in his age 24 season. Again, very young, could be much better, but still wasn't all that great last year.
Yeah. And then I'll jump right into O'Neill Cruz as another young player. He had obviously broke his leg last year, early in the season,
brutal.
Only played
had
nine games,
team.
I think. Yeah. But you know, he's kind of like the Ellie De La Cruz hype has come up while the O'Neill Cruz hype has gone down. And I think
everyone forgets. Yeah.
That people are starting to become more aware of it now as spring has gone on, that O'Neill Cruz is like still here and still has a crazy high
murdering
ceiling.
Baseballs.
Yeah. I mean, he just hits the ball so hard. So I'm expecting him to break out this year fully and just have like a really, really good season. I expected it last year, but obviously he wasn't able to play. So now it's just about, and it wasn't like an ACL, it was a clean break. So that's good. That's strong for healing, hopefully not lingering. So really excited to watch him play for this Pirate squad.
Definitely one of the more exciting players in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Call your shot. How does the division finish out?
Okay. This is a weird division. I think they're
It
all going to be
is.
just kind of beating each other up, but not really winning that much outside of the division. I'm going with the Chicago Cubs as my winner, Cincinnati Reds as my runner-up, Brewers in third, Cardinals fourth, Pirates fifth. Although I think those bottom three teams are going to be pretty close to each other.
Okay, you ready for this?
Give me the Reds.
I can't go Reds. I'm gonna go
Oh,
Cubs.
okay. All right. All
Gonna
right. All
go Cubs because I think there's another move that will happen. I'll go
right. Okay.
Reds two.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm gonna go Pirates three.
Yeah. I struggled with them because there's potential for sure.
I think the Brewers are really gonna struggle this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave away their manager to a division rival. I mean,
The lack of pitching is
I
really going to hurt too.
yeah, pitching's been their strength. They don't really have that at least as much this year. And yeah, it's a toss up between them and the Cardinals for four and five. I'll probably honestly put the Cardinals four because they, at least at the start of the year, all their pitchers are healthy. After that, it's gonna kind of go all to hell. So the Brewers going from first to fifth might be an aggressive take, but it's also not that strong of a division. So yeah, so
Yeah, I'm
I'll
definitely,
stick
I'm
by that.
expecting pretty, they'll probably all be pretty close together. They were last year. And like I said, they're going to be beating each other up more so
Yeah.
than seemingly
Cubs win the
other.
division with 85 wins.
Yeah, it's probably going to be something like that. Yeah, I would agree.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's move on to the NL West. Obviously, when you talk NL West, you got to start with the Dodgers. They are led by everyone.
Yep, I love it.
Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman. I mean, all could win MVP. Like, just the first ever co MVP. And then Yoshinobu Yamamoto comes over from Japan. He did not have a great spring, but a lot of that is defensive stuff, which we'll talk about here in a second. Tyler Glasnow acquired in trade from the Rays, and then Clayton Kershaw is back as well, and they have some other intriguing options in the rotation to call upon as well. I want to talk about Mookie Betts, not because there's anything that hasn't been already said about Mookie Betts, but now we talked about Mookie Betts moving to shorts or to second base permanently. Now he's moving to shortstop because
Yeah.
Gavin Lux forgot how to throw a baseball. And that's not an exaggeration. He has the
Yeah,
yips,
the
beauty,
Y
ladies and
word.
gentlemen. Yeah, I shouldn't have even said it, but it is
Yeah, it,
very
yeah.
real, very real. And it almost makes me wonder if they regret trading Michael Bush because he's kind of seems like they could have used him. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Gavin Lux is equally as intriguing of a selection if you wanted to kind of watch him closely.
Rooting
Obviously,
for him.
coming off the injury as well, and now dealing with kind of the mental aspect of playing sports in general, but certainly baseball. But yeah, I want to see how Mookie Betts does at shortstop. I mean, that is insane. One of the best defensive outfielders plays second base because they need him, and now moving shortstop because they need him, and he's still really good defensively at shortstop. So that's just my one thing. It's like, what does the shortstop Mookie Betts look like?
Yeah, and I, rooting for Gavin Lux, wish him the best because it's gonna be tough on the mental health when you have an injury like that, and he's clearly struggling to play free and without fear of getting hurt. So
Right.
hopefully he can fix that and get through that. He's a young man, so good luck for him. I'll go. So we already kind of know all these big name guys. So I'll go under the radar with a Jason Hayward who had a very good season for them last year. Can he repeat as, sort of that platoon option right fielder? I don't know because he hasn't had two good seasons in a row in a long time. So we'll see. But if he, can be a positive impact out there, it's obviously going to help them. I don't really think he has to be great for them to win games, but it can't hurt. So
Yeah,
like you
good
said,
pick.
the Dodgers are led by everybody.
Yep, for sure. They are led by everyone, but they didn't win the NL last year. That title belongs to the Arizona Diamondbacks, we'll talk about next, led by Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, and Lourdes Gurriel, and then Zach Eflin, Merrill Kelly, and then newly acquired Eduardo Rodriguez. I almost said Edwin Rodriguez. Eduardo Rodriguez to kind of round out the rotation. So this is a team I'm still very high on. They clearly want to win. They clearly won, started winning a year before they thought. And then now they're kind of trying to play catch up to support this pennant winning team. But a large part of that pennant winning team was the emergence of Gabby Moreno, who I kind of alluded to last week, talking about the Blue Jays with all their catching depth. They traded away Moreno, and now Moreno might be better than anyone on the Blue Jays, any catcher on the Blue Jays. So he had a really strong year last year, great postseason. So what does year two look like? This is a guy who I'm really excited for his outlook. I mean, any catcher that can hit and still obviously provides great defensive numbers as well, I'm super excited about. So Moreno certainly falls into that category, and so I'm excited to see what year two looks like.
Absolutely. And I can see a slight power increase as well because he really started to find his power swing towards the end of the year and into the postseason. I'll go with another young player, Brandon Pfaadt, who also played well in the postseason. He didn't have a great year last year overall, but I think that
Stepped up
maybe
when they needed him.
getting that confidence boost, like, hey, I can do this. I belong. Confidence is a big thing with young pitchers, especially. They have to know that their stuff plays. And I think that he figured that out, that his stuff plays and he can start attacking a little bit more. If he can have a solid season for them, that's going to be huge because that makes that rotation a little bit scary. If he is added in with Erod
Four
addition
really
and
solid
Zach
guys,
Gallen
yeah.
has a Cy Young ceiling potentially. So that could be a really solid rotation. Their lineup is still really strong. And they added Jock Peterson. They re-signed Lourdes Gurriel. I'm excited for this D-back squad. I don't think they win this division, but I think they could be again a
They're a
scary
playoff
team.
team. They're a
You don't
playoff
want to play
team.
this team in the playoffs. We saw it last year,
For
and
sure.
they're gonna probably be back there again. And any team that matches up with them is gonna be scared.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's move on to a team that I have no idea what they're doing. The San Diego Padres. Since we recorded last, they went out and traded for Dylan Cease. We thought it was going to be the Yankees. Then the Rangers kind of were rumored there for a minute, which made sense because the Rangers are not going after Jordan Montgomery again, and with Scherzer and DeGrom on the shelf, they kind of need more pitching. But here come the Padres, which, I mean, even after trading for Juan Soto and then trading him away for kind of more major league ready talent, they still had the number one farm system in baseball. So I guess you can kind of use an area of strength to improve your team. So now they have Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, and Joe Musgrove leading the rotation. So they kind of swap out Blake Snell for Dylan Cease. Kind of works there. Although Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner. I don't know how you kind of just move on from him. And then they have Fernando Tatis, Manny, I almost said Manny Ramirez, Manny Machado. Jesus, my brain. Too many
Manny
players we're
being
talking about
Manny.
right now. And then that third guy is kind of Ha-Seong Kim, Jake Cronenworth. Kind of a combination of some guys out there as well. The guy I want to talk about is Jackson Merritt. I say this as a Nats fan who loves CJ Abrams. Like, I can't believe they traded Juan Soto without trading for Jackson Merrill. Like, he's just so good, and it kind of just goes back to how good that farm system is when they had C.J. Abrams and James Wood and Robert Hassel and Jackson Merrill and all these other guys. But Jackson Merrill seems like a guy who's going to break camp with the team and is probably going to be very, very good. So I forgot to mention Xander Bogaerts as well.
He's the forgotten one. Yeah, he always gets forgotten. He's still solid, right, though.
Right. But he's moving to second base now, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. But Jackson Merrill's going to have a role with this team. It does kind of fall into that team really pushing for the playoffs with a rookie who like has to push for that playoff as well. So we'll see how Merrill does at the gate, but he's going to be a really, really good MLB-er. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, they're still trying to make this push for the postseason. It's just weird that, you know, they trade Soto away when they're still trying to do that. Obviously, I kind of get it, and there's still something here with this squad. I'm just not sure if that's going to end up being the playoffs or not. I'll talk about Manny Machado because it's odd year Manny. We're back. He wasn't that great last year. I mean, he's good, solid player last year, but when he has like a not so great season, he tends to follow that up with a very good season. He's got to be that guy. Him and Tatis have to, at the top of that order, establish themselves as two superstars once again if this team wants to go anywhere this year. I'm not sure if that happens. It could. I think Tatis has a better chance of doing that because he's a little bit younger, but I still like Machado. I mean, Machado's only like 30, which is crazy to think about because he's been around for so long. But I'm not really that confident in the rest of the team around it. I mean, they're probably going to be solid. Yeah. Like they'll probably, you know, be 500, maybe a little bit over 500, but yeah, in this division, it's just brutal. So, they're definitely intriguing as well, just to see how they progress the season and what they do.
Yeah. Speaking of a team that gave away their manager to a division rival, we'll see what the Padres have in store for this year.
Yeah.
And the team that got that manager is the San Francisco Giants, which before we, you know, dive into it, like, I don't, aside from like the Dodgers or, you know, I guess the Mets went for the Braves are always doing something, I don't think any team really wants to win as much as the Giants. They have been trying and trying to get players to play for this team for years and have not been able to convince anyone. And in the midst of that, one had a season where they won like 108 games, got bounced in the first round, so it didn't amount to anything. But this team wants to win. Out with Gabe Kapler, in with Bob Melvin, in with a couple of other guys that will play big parts, but they had a guy there that was arguably the best pitcher in baseball last year. Logan Webb leading that rotation, Alex Cobb and Kyle Harrison kind of supporting that. Robbie Ray was acquired, but he's still hurt, so we'll see how much he factors into the rotation this year. And then all three guys that are kind of leading the lineup are new guys: Matt Chapman, Jorge Soler, and Jung-Ho Lee, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. We'll see what kind of seasons they put up. It's not a very hitter-friendly ballpark, so that's part of the reason why they struggle to get so many guys to sign there, as well as, you know, other reasons. But they got 3-1 offseason, so we'll see kind of what boost that provides to a team that, historically speaking, you know, you go back 20 years or so, even, you know, 10 to 12 years, like, they've been good, really, really good. So this team knows how to win. It's an organization that knows how to win, that wants to win. So we'll see. I think this could be a team that surprises. I don't think it necessarily happens this year, but with more reinforcements, perhaps next year, I think they could push. A guy that I really like is Patrick Bailey, one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. Can he really solidify himself as that catcher of like that franchise catcher? This is a team that, you know, won 3 World Series with Buster Posey, one of my favorite players of all time. And since then, they've really been trying to kind of replace Buster Posey. We thought it was going to be Joey Bart. Joey Bart didn't pan out. Now enter Patrick Bailey, first round pick in 2020. Weird year, obviously the COVID year. Can he emerge as that guy? I talked about needing to hit on the first round picks. The Giants really need to hit on the first round picks because I'm sure they'll struggle to sign some more free agents. you know, especially the position players in a not so hitter friendly ballpark. So we'll see. But Patrick Bailey, he had a strong season last year. Can he improve upon it, catching, you know, the large majority of the games this year?
Yeah, for sure. Patrick Bailey is, if he can just get his bat to a league average, you're looking at a ridiculous player, because his defense is unbelievable. This is an interesting team for me. I like what they did this offseason, partially. I wish they did a little bit more with the pitching staff, which is definitely lacking depth. However, they did acquire Jordan Hicks, and they want him to be a starter, which is interesting. And I'm not sure if it's going to work, but if he can be a starter and he can be a solid starter, that's going to be big, because right now they're definitely struggling in the pitching depth department. They're hoping to get Robbie Ray at the end of the season. So I think what they want is to try and just kind of hold out until they get a little bit more help coming back from injury. Will that hold up? I'm not sure. They're going to, you know, they pitch in it's a pitcher friendly park. So that's helpful for a young, well, there's young and old staff, honestly. Alex Cobley, 37. Yeah. He's actually going to miss some time, I think, a little bit. So,
is he? Yeah.
Can they hold up? I don't know. But Jordan Hicks, if he can be that guy, is going to be a huge boost to them. If he can give them 150 innings, you know, solid ERA, just be like a solid three guy for them. Because obviously Logan Webb's the ace, and he shouldn't have any trouble getting helping this team win. Although he finished with they did not like to provide run support for him last year. So he kind of got degrommed in the fact that he finished with a negative win loss record.
We call it Josiah Grade now.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's a good point. Good. Yeah. Hicks is just, he's been interesting since he came in the league. He was throwing 105.
Analyzing stuff.
And that now he doesn't throw that hard, but he still throws pretty hard. He's had some injury issues.
Yeah.
The stuff is crazy. Can he put it all together? We'll see.
And you could have told me he died and was reincarnated in the form of Yarlin Susana. So, yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. All right. The final team, they still exist in the NL West, the Colorado Rockies, led by Nolan Jones, Ryan McMahon, Chris Bryant, Kyle Freeland, Austin Gomer, Cal Quantrill. They did try to boost that rotation, but we know Denver, notoriously tough place to pitch. I can't believe Kyle Freeland has been doing it pretty well for so long now. The guy I want to talk about, so the Rockies are going to be really bad. I'll put that out there. So I was trying to pick a guy who, like, fans could at least be excited about. The guy you picked was that guy last year. So I was trying to pick the guy this year, and I think that's Ezekiel Tovar. Really solid year last year, just kind of lost in the shuffle. That is the Colorado Rockies. He had 15 home runs, 73 RBIs last year in his basically his rookie campaign. He only played 9 games in 2022. So he was really, really solid. The thing for him is he needs to cut down on strikeouts. He had 27% last year. He has a 20% strikeout rate in spring training. So encouraging early results. His OPS was like 695 last year. If you can get that to a 750 this year playing shortstop, that's really, really promising. And this is a team that you're not going to attract many free agents. So you kind of need those young guys to be the core of your next great team, so that way you can attract free agents. But I think Ezekiel Tovar, he had a really great season last year in terms of a rookie. And I think he is due for another step forward this year.
Yeah. Phenomenal defense, phenomenal speed. If that bat can come up, that's huge for them. I will talk about Nolan Jones just because there's not much else to talk about here.
Right.
But he's really good. He had a great season last year. He didn't play the full season, but he played most of it. High K rate, like to see that come down a little bit, but big power, big arm in the outfield as well. He's got a high ceiling for this squad. He could be a 40 home run potential guy at Coors. So I'm very excited to see what he's got in store. But I mean, the other storylines, you know, Brendan Doyle won the Gold Glove, but he can't hit. But he won the Gold Glove last year. That's something. Brendan Rodgers returning from injury, that's something to look forward to. But, you know, realistically speaking here,
Charlie Blackman's still there? Or did he retire?
He is still there.
Is he actually? I was joking.
He is going to be their DH.
Oh, man. He's 37. Sheesh.
I guess. I don't know, man.
I loved Charlie Blackman for
Yeah,
that like
he was
5 year
great for a
stretch.
while.
Yeah,
He's
that
just
5 year
old
stretch where he
now.
was just dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a rough roster. This could be the worst National League team. Could
I think
be.
they will be. I think they will be. All right, call out the NL West. What's the final standings?
Okay, pretty standard. Got the Dodgers taking this one because, like
Yep.
Nick said, once again, they have everybody. D-backs coming in at number two. I think they'll probably win 90 plus. And then I got the Giants coming in at number three. I like what they did the offseason. Padres at four. I think both of them will be fighting each other for that third spot and potentially a wild card spot there. And then obviously the Rockies will be way down at the bottom.
I actually have the exact same.
Okay.
I thought it would be alone on the Giants. My rankings are more about the Padres than the Giants.
Yeah.
The Padres prove themselves to be that team that kind of just collapses, whether it's like clubhouse drama or whatever it may be. Hopefully, I don't even know who their new manager is.
I don't either.
Hopefully he can get it right. But I mean, if I was really bullish on the Bob Melvin hiring last year. And 1 year, and they let him go. So I think there's a lot of stuff we're not seeing beyond the on-field play. I think the Padres are really gonna disappoint. They don't have as high expectations anymore, but I think they're still gonna disappoint. So I think the Giants will swoop in and get that third spot.
Yep, and I think the Giants have a chance at a wild card spot as
Yeah,
well.
they'll be in the conversation. I don't
We'll
know
see.
if
Yeah.
they'll get there, but they'll be in the
That's
conversation.
definitely the West is definitely the best division, I think,
Easily.
in the NL right now.
Easily. All right. So that does it for the National League preview. Ran a little bit long, but we appreciate you guys
We
sticking it
always
out.
do.
Yeah, it was just good conversation. If you're watching on YouTube, really appreciate it. If you're not watching on YouTube, but you're listening, again, we really appreciate it. But check us out on YouTube. That's kind of where we do the kind of primary show, and you get the most out of it. Obviously, a lot of graphics and scroll bar, and Trey does a great job with that. So be sure to subscribe, like, comment, review us everywhere, whether it's podcast or YouTube or anywhere else. You can follow us on Twitter at District BSB, TikTok at District Baseball. And we'll be back. I just cannot wait for baseball season to get started. It feels like spring training has lasted 2 months at this point. But we're close. So
Yep,
next
full
week,
predictions. Let's go. We're
yeah, I was gonna
ready.
say next week I think is our full predictions episode.
Yes.
So we're gonna plant our flag. There's no more walking it back
Yep.
anymore. So it's a good episode, always is. But be sure to follow us so you don't miss a thing. In the meantime, appreciate listening. Peace.
See ya.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.